Hello and welcome. Today we are going to jump into the world of business organization. That's what this class is all about. We have spent the last two classes on the overall nature of the law. What is the law? What are rights? We went into last time the three branches of government, how government works, because government is the law, and that is how we make our laws. Remember, our sovereignty vests in our people, and as a result, we provide the sovereignty to our government to make the laws on our behalf. We talked last time about the executive branch, both the federal and the state, our powers, the ability to make regulations and executive orders. We talked about the judicial branch. Remember, the executive branch executes the law. The judicial branch interprets the law. We talked about both the federal and the state judiciary. Remember, the highest court in New York State is the Court of Appeals. The highest court in the United States is the Supreme Court. We talked about jurisdiction. There's limited jurisdiction on the federal courts. There's broad jurisdiction for the state courts. We talked about their powers and we talked about the courts. And lastly, we wrapped up on with the legislative branch. Both in the federal and the state level, you have Congress on the federal level and the state legislature on the state level. They enact statutes, which become the laws of the land. They have broad powers. Congress has powers that are limited, whereas the state legislature has basically unlimited powers. The federal Congress can make laws relating to foreign policy. That can't be done on the state level. But the state level can make laws on almost everything else as long as it doesn't conflict with those enumerated powers within the United States Constitution. They also have an oversight role with respect to Congress, with respect to the president and the federal judiciary, and the state legislature with respect to the governor and the other levels of judiciary. Sorry. Lastly, we did a class exercise last time on how a bill becomes a law and how to run for public office. And that talked about how we are able to create our government by having people be elected there. We are a republic where people are elected to represent us. And we talked about once they get into office, how does a bill become a law? Tonight, we're going to jump into our overall substantive areas on the law of business organizations. We're going to start with a primer on what business organizations are all about. That's going to be pretty brief. Then we're going to jump into the law of agency. That's more extensive. And the law of agency is critical because in every business organization, agency is used, whether it be a sole proprietor who uses agents to do things for them, or a partner who the partnership is based on the law of agency because you have two people or more who are acting on behalf of each other. And of course, corporations, they can only act through agents because they're an artificial person under the law. We're going to next move into employment because employment is different than agency. We're going to highlight some of the differences and what the importance of employment is. Next, we're going to move on to our case tonight, Murillo versus Park Slope. It's the recognition of the contractual elements of agency. Let's start first with the law of business organizations. We're going to jump into two things, the principles of business organization and the nature of business organizations. This is a class which is an adventure in the law. And as our syllabus shows, we're going to talk about a lot of things. We're going to talk about business organizations. We're going to talk about agency. We're going to talk about employment. We're going to talk about sole proprietorships, partnerships, corporations, public authorities, limited liability companies, and ultimately freedom, because your economic freedom is tied to the fact that you can be anything you want in America. And that is based on the fact that you can start your own business, you can pick your own job, you can work how you want to work. In other countries, you don't have that luxury. In our country, you do. And it's because of the system of government that we just talked about the last two classes. The fact that the people in the United States are the sovereign, the fact that the people of the United States make the laws through their representatives, that allows us to have the freedom to be able to pursue the dreams we want to. And one of the principal dreams is the fact that you get to do whatever you want to do as far as a career. And this course talks to you about the different ways that businesses are organized. And that shows you how you can start or work within a business for a career. Now, let's talk about principles of business organization, because these you should commit to memory. They will be on the exam, and more importantly, they help you bring about an understanding of this class. There are only eight of them, but those principles will help you understand what this class is all about. And the first one is why we spent the first two classes on law and government. Because business organizations are a creature of law. They're created out of the law. Most of the time they're statutory, and most of the time they're state law. They're creatures of law. And you need to understand that in order to know what a business organization is and how it operates. That's why we start our class with what the law is, what right is, because that way it helps you understand. Tonight, we're going to jump into agents. And the principle of business organization related to agents is that agents stand in the shoes of their principals. They're only allowed to do the things that the principals want them to do, and they can't go beyond the scope of what a principal could do. The easiest way to understand that is agents stand in the shoes of their principals. Next week, we're going to go on to sole proprietorships. They're the easiest and most prominent form of ownership, with 3/4 of all businesses operating in that form. Sole proprietorships are simple. You just start the business. There's very little form to it. There's very little structure there. And they are the easiest and most prominent form of business ownership. They're also the easiest to get out of. Next week, we'll also discuss partnerships. Partnerships are where two or more people join to operate a business for profit. And with a partnership, your partner can be more important than your spouse, because there's things like imputed knowledge. You're expected to communicate with your partner. You're expected to know what they know. You're expected to be able to be successful with them. And in a partnership, remember, your partner can be more important than your spouse. In a few weeks, we're going to start corporations. Corporations is going to take up most of this class because of the biggest and most complex form of business organization. Business corporations are artificial persons under the law with rights of a person. they are treated as if they are a person under the law. They have rights. They are formed for one purpose and one purpose only, to conduct a business for profit. Profit is not a dirty word. It's one of the greatest human motivators. It provides and creates jobs and opportunities and innovation. But whereas a business corporation is an artificial person under the law, remember they are formed for one reason, to conduct a business for profit. Next, we're going to talk about limited liability companies. They're called LLCs. In 1994, the state legislature in New York got together and said, you know, corporations are very arduous. They have a separate structure because they're an artificial person under the law. They're very complicated. They're very expensive. We need a business organization that has the limited liability of a corporation without the expense of it. So they basically took the elements of both a partnership and a corporation and melded them together. And that is a limited liability company. They're a more simple form of business organization. It's where most small businesses today reside because they're less expensive to operate, easier and more simple. Next, public authorities. Public authorities are corporations chartered by generally state legislatures, although they can be chartered by a federal legislature too, Congress, designed to do the work of government. Public authorities are corporations designed to do the work of government. Famous ones are ones like the MTA or the Thruway Authority. They are the organizations that try and operate as a corporation, but they're doing government work. They're running a highway. They're running with the MTA, the transportation system down in New York City. The Power Authority, which helps bring power to rural areas. Those are corporations chartered by the state that do the work of government. Lastly, this is a course in freedom. Freedom is the most powerful form of human existence. True freedom is linked to the worth and acceptance of the individual. It's the trust in individual people and in their ability to pursue their property and their happiness, their rights. You cannot have freedom without respect for the individual person. And this class in business organization is the quintessential elements of freedom because it allows you to pursue a lifetime career however you want to do it. Now, what are business organizations? What's their very nature? As we said, you can't have an understanding of the law of business and its organizations without an understanding of the law. Why? Because they are creatures of law. Go back to principle number one. And to truly understand the law of business, we need to understand that these organizations are a vehicle which delivers the need of commerce. That means business. That requires us to have an understanding of the law which governs the rules of the road which we want to drive that vehicle. I try to put this kind of in a fun way of looking at the different business organizations like cars. I'm a boy. I like cars. And as a result of that, think of a sole proprietorship as a Mini Cooper. It's small, it's nimble, it's fuel efficient, doesn't cost much. You can drive it anywhere, you can park it anywhere. It's easy to operate, but it's not very heavy duty. You can't do everything with it. You can't, you know, pick up a plywood board and bring it home. It's just too small. It can't do everything, but it can do a lot, and it's nimble and cost-effective. Partnerships are the next step up. Partnerships are like a mid-size car. You can carry more. It's a little less fuel efficient, but you can do more than just the Mini Cooper. The corporation, on the other hand, is the big mama. It's a truck. It fits a lot of stuff. It can haul a lot of stuff. And it's a gas guzzler. It's expensive, but it can do everything. You can go off-roading on it, anything you ever wanted. Corporations are very versatile. They can do everything you can imagine, but they're expensive and arduous and difficult to operate. So think of them in terms of that. It helps bring to mind what the differences are. It's not a perfect analogy, but it's a fun one. That wraps up our principles and natures of business organization. Next, we're on to agency. See you shortly.